And welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, December the 11th, 2021. It is Season 15, Episode 42. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Wendy.
Welcome to Episode 666.
Which would have been better in October, but not quite.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's the way the chips fall, the cookie crumbles, whatever it's called. It's just, you know, it's one of those things. It's how it came to be. And so, yeah, this is our 666th episode. Merry Christmas. Anyway, welcome into the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228, 272-9228. We prefer you to pop onto Discord just because, you know, it sounds really good if you can.
Yes,
and we can see that you're in there. We know who you are even before we put you on the air if we decide not to. you feel free to call. 272-9228 is the number. If you want to get in touch with us in any other way, just go to our website, ingamechat.net. And there'll be links down at the bottom of the page for you to reach out to us, whether it be through email, which we did get an email this week. If you want to reach out to us on Discord or any other method, it's all there at our website, ingamechat.net. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook. I mean, the name is all over the place. You can email us, everyone at InGameChat.net, which, of course, we did get an email from. Streaming right now on Twitch under the name InGameChat. It's all over the place. So, yeah, just type that in. You'll find us. Go to Twitch.tv, do a search, and you can watch the show while you listen to it as well. And you can join in the chat room. Got Ben and Brian in there, AC Wraith hanging out as well. No bad weather damage, like, personally, none here at the station, none back home. I don't know about anybody else. Checked in on family who live up north, and they were fine as well. So, yeah, so far so good. At least here. I know this was over the, that weather ripped through, God, five states, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a massive thing, and it was an overnight storm, which is the worst when the tornado stuff happens overnight, or into the night hours. It's always bad. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, let's see. Did that cover everything? Oh, it didn't cover this. Let's do this. Do the clapboard here that I got to do. And as you can see, episode 666. Anyway, there you go. Just something that, you know, happens
once.
I was going to say once in a, and then I'm like, no, it really just happens once. That's
once.
It.
Yeah. It will never happen again.
It doesn't keep going back. It just happens once.
Yeah.
Welcome into the show. It is another Christmas show. I decided to use openings, Christmas music in the openings as well. I didn't do that last week, but I'll do it this week, and we'll do it next week as well. Next week, of course, last episode of the year, because we will not be here for Christmas Day or New Year's Day to do a show. So keep that in mind. We have a lot to go over because there was a lot that seemed to have happened in between now and then. I had a whole list of news that we didn't get to last week to use that we won't have time for this week, just going by everything that we've got here lined up, which is a lot. I haven't even looked at news for today to see maybe what, and I guess I should, just in case something happened. What do we have here? You know, I go by my list here to see. Like, this thing has 59, you know, 59 people have marked this one. This has 500 plus. This has 1K, which Activision Blizzard reacts to unionization talk with anti-unionization talk. Of course they are. The one that I came across that I just said uh-oh with was something that had 18,000 people doing it. It happened 22 hours ago. It was the writer for Cowboy Bebop and Tokyo Godfathers passed away at the age of 57. And they also canceled that show. Did you see that? They canceled the Netflix series?
Yeah, they canceled the live action of Cowboy Bebop.
Did you watch that at all?
No.
Did you watch the anime at all?
The anime, yeah.
Yeah, because the anime is only like one season anyway,
one
right?
One season's like 26 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they got a movie as well, I believe. So, yeah.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't see the live action one.
Yeah. We watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we had no reference to the anime at all.
Yeah.
I knew about it, and I actually, I think I picked it up on a sale from Amazon digitally. I think the season one was like a dollar. it really was, and I was like, oh, sure, I'll buy that for a dollar.
Yeah.
And so I did.
Literally, yeah.
Did I watch it? Nope.
Nope.
So yeah, my first experience with that series was the live action series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were fine with it.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it.
Yeah, a lot of things like that are, the way it goes, from what I've noticed really, is if you make something based off of something already established, like a well-known anime series or video game or something like that, it'll appeal mostly to the folks who've never had those games or movies as reference. Like, I'll give you an example, Max Payne.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, have you ever seen the live action one with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so yeah.
How'd you feel about that one?
I didn't like it.
Didn't like it at all. Okay. Yeah. Now I asked people who had no reference of the game at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And they liked it.
Okay. Good.
So they liked it because they didn't have any reference for the original source material. Right.
That's perfectly fine.
And that's the odd thing about it. You make this series based off something. Who's it going to appeal to? The people who've seen what you're basing it off of.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard to appeal to them, but everyone tries to appeal to everybody, try to make it appeal to everybody, and that's where they start messing up.
Well, not just that, though. Max Payne, for a lot of us who saw that, had, or at least had the criticisms, I suppose, of it, or, you know, didn't like it, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It seemed real easily fit to do a film for. The game did.
Yeah.
And
it felt like a movie.
They had so many missteps as far as being able to translate that, I guess.
Yeah.
It seemed like it would easily be, you know, was easily translatable into a film, series, TV, whatever.
Yeah.
Take that story, put it into your, mm-hmm. your film. Seems like it would go well. And I mean, they hit some story beats, but overall, mm-hmm. Overall, it fell down the usual video game film hole of things, which honestly still continues, it seems.
Yeah. I think what happens is, I think we talked about it before, it's always someone's vision of it. It's not going to be based on it completely. It's like my tweak or my take on this already firmly established universe, and this is my version of what it should be. And it's like, no, you missed the mark on this one, son.
Yeah. We really haven't had anything kind of... turn my own mic off. We really haven't had anything kind of, and I hate to use comic book movies to because they're so different than what they were when they first started.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can remember, I was working at the theater at the time, but I can remember when X-Men released.
Yeah.
And you know, had hope that, okay, maybe they can get this comic book thing down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, X-Men and Spider-Man, the originals and stuff. Like, maybe they can get this thing nailed.
Yeah, plenty of source material to base this off of. Would be hard to mess it up.
Because we were good for a while. Like, Superman in 78 was great. And then Batman in 89 was good. And then even Batman in 91, I think, still was okay. And then, of course, they went downhill with the Schumacher stuff on 3 and 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
After that, and kind of just fell off the face as far as comic book movies, and then it's like, oh, we're going to do another one. I hope it's successful, and obviously it was, and it kind of just started the whole trend of like, okay, here we go, and then Marvel picked up with it much later on again when they could do their own stuff, and that's fine. That sort of set that pace. We haven't really had that for video game movies that I know of. I think I'm going to say the original Lawrence Kasdan Mortal Kombat that was released, whatever year that was, 96, 7?
I'm not sure. I have to look that up. But anyway, talking about the one with Lyndon Ashby and Christopher Lambert.
Yep.
Lambert.
Yeah.
I got to get it right.
Like that one was good. It feels like, of course, if you go back and watch that again today, it's like, ooh, no, that's not good.
Yeah.
But at the time, we were very hopeful that that was going to do something. And it really, especially when the sequel released, it really didn't do it. And I don't think we've had attempts. There's the Hitman movies. There was the Assassin's Creed movie. There was the World of Warcraft film.
All I can think of that people were talking really good about was Arcane on Netflix, the one based on League of Legends. I've never played the
game. She and I watched an episode. I fell asleep during the first episode. I would like to go back and watch that, though, because I have heard nothing but good things about that. And I don't even play the game.
Yeah, same here. I don't even play the game. I mean,
but apparently you don't have to.
Yeah. It looks good. The animations looks nice, but I'm not familiar with the story element at all. So hopefully they'll explain it properly to someone who has no idea what this universe is all about. So they're probably doing a good job with that, but I'll have to watch and see.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it, so I need to go back and do that. But we haven't had that yet. And what's the next one we're getting? Uncharted?
Yeah, it's Uncharted with Holland and Wahlberg, right? Mark Wahlberg, yeah.
Yeah, I have hope. Mm-hmm. First off, I love the series of games.
Yeah.
And again, that is also another game where it feels like, hey, you should be able to translate this pretty well into a film. You're already giving us cinematic type stuff in it anyway.
Yeah.
And this doesn't involve ninjas with special powers and stuff like that that you had to do with the Mortal Kombat stuff.
Yeah. And of course, if you got I did see the hype for Sonic the Hedgehog. I saw that part.
Right. There's another one.
Came out.
Yeah. There's another one that did pretty well and did okay. Yeah, and thank God they changed what they did. Yeah, otherwise, it would have flopped.
Yeah, what made it stand out was that they actually listened to the requests of the people who saw that first trailer.
God,
like,
that was
what
weird.
Are you doing?
Oh, that was bad.
But they actually listened. And that's what gave them credit to the
exactly. That's what got him a sequel.
That's what got him a sequel. Yeah,
exactly. That is what got him a sequel, which we saw the trailer for that at the Game Awards. We're going to be talking a lot about the Game Awards. I took notes during the Game Awards because remember we talked about this.
Yeah, how much is actually?
I didn't start out taking the notes. I started out, you know, my old cynical self and being like, grumpy awards. Meh. But then they open the awards with a nice little montage, a nice little music thing. Very, very good. Okay. Jeff comes out, does his thing. Then he says, hey, we're going to get right to our first award. And he does his thing. And I should have. Today was weird with the weather stuff. So I didn't get a chance to do this. I wanted to very badly. And maybe I can. I mean, we got access to YouTube right here. Mm-hmm. But he opens the show. Hi, I'm this. He gives a very vague, we will not tolerate discrimination and harassment. For whatever reason, I'm not going to name names. For some reason, he doesn't do that. Like, you could easily name the name because Activision Blizzard. Mm-hmm. That's who you're calling out, right? Although, he didn't necessarily have to be that vague. Because, you know, as we come to find out, that sort of thing, I don't want to say it's rampant across video gaming industry, but I would imagine all companies either at some point in their lifetime have exhibited stuff like that. Maybe not as severe as what Activision Blizzard has, but it's still there. It doesn't have to be. You can't look at Activision Blizzard and say, well, that's on a different scale. This is okay. That's really bad. No, it's all bad. Mm-hmm. There is no level of this is worse than that. You know what I'm saying? It's all at a high level of this is bad. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. Now, Activision, their methods to deal with this has been worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. Doesn't, you know, their response to it has been bad. You know, the act of it and everything else, that is completely bad, not tolerated, shouldn't be done, that sort of thing. Their response to it is even worse. And that would be the one that I would say, that would be where I would look at that and, you know, give that. Anyway, he comes out, vague response on that. Perfectly fine, although he's taken a lot of criticism online from that. The fact that he didn't have the you know,
nerve.
Yeah. I was thinking something else, but didn't have the nerve to like point it out, you know? I suppose maybe the problem with that is if he just singles out that one, that there's others to single out as well. I mean, Ubisoft is going through it. We just had a report on Friday about Bungie going through it as well. So where there's one, there's others, I suppose. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's one, there's others. But yeah. Aside from that, the next thing he says is that, you know, we're here to honor games and the developers that make them. This is a great, and he gives this whole speech, and I wish I could have written it down or had it on, but he gives this whole thing about this is our chance to honor these developers and thank them for all their hard work and what they're going to do. And I'm like, all right, buddy. And we're going to do it right now, getting with our first award. And I thought, okay, good. And it's the Indie Award, which is also good. I like the fact that they went first with the Indie Award. Mm-hmm. I say that because indies, you know, it's good for the indies to get that kind of spotlight shine on them.
Yeah.
The massive amount of viewers are always at the front
at the
of these
beginning
things.
Of the show. So, yeah.
So, applaud them for that. Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They did give out the first award. The first award went to an indie game that I was thinking it was going to be something else, but it ended up being something else. I can't remember what it was. I wrote it down, though. I say I wrote it down. I don't know if I wrote down the winner. Nope. I just said the first award is the indie award. I do have the list of winners in the news thing here, and I want to throw that up. Here are all the winners. Good. Let me bring this up so I can go through and give you the first one. Oh, God, they're going to start with Game of the Year first.
Was it Kena Bridge of Spirits?
Yeah, that's the one it was.
Okay.
Yeah. This article that I have doesn't have the order in which the...
I just looked up on Google. They got the list of everything.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate you looking up. But yeah, it was Kena Bridge of Spirits, a game that was developed by a group of people who formerly worked for Pixar, I believe. Mm-hmm. They didn't leave Pixar out of any kind of disgruntlement. They just left and made their own studio and were making video games. And so they made Kena Bridge of Spirits. I wasn't expecting that... There was 12 Minutes, Death's Door, Inscription, and Loop Hero as the other nominees. I honestly thought it was going with... I honestly thought Inscription was going to win that. Mm. Maybe Death's Door as well. Death's Door, Inscription, I thought, one of those is probably going to pull away and win that. It was Kena Bridge of Spirits, which was interesting. I kept seeing that thing pop up on my Black Friday sales.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was a single player. It's a one-shot type thing. You know,
so it was a single player artsy type thing.
No. It's a single player action type of game. Yeah,
story focus.
Maybe. I can't remember what the story's about. I haven't played it.
No, I keep thinking about things like Journey or what's that one with the color Gris. I think things like that.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's that type of game.
No,
those type of indie games usually get most of the attention of this. Around this time.
This feels more like. Did you ever play Cameo? Back on the 360, it was a launch title for the 360.
No, I haven't.
And it loved to show off the amount of people you could put on the screen at one time. It was showing off two things. First off, it was a launch title for the 360, which means we were seeing HD for the first time. Not 4K, but 1080p for the very first time in our video games, and it looked amazing. Yeah. Not only that, they were putting a ton of enemies on the screen at the same time, and it also was amazing to experience that.
Right.
Way back in 2008, 7, 8, something like that.
Yeah.
That's what Kena reminds me of a little bit. It has a female protagonist, interacts with creatures, that sort of thing. So it's a very vague similarity, I suppose.
Mm.
Anyway, my point being, as I keep rambling, was that they kicked off with independent game. That was great. That was in the very first thing.
Right.
It was another, let me see. 52 minutes later, we got our second award. Well,
repeat that. How long?
So 52 minutes later, we got our next award for a developer. Hold on. In between the Indie Award and the developer and the next developer award, 52 minutes later, in between there, they gave an award for an actor's performance. You know, a voice actor's performance.
Maggie Robertson?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is Maggie Robertson performance. I was wondering what that was about.
Yeah, that's exactly what that would be, probably.
Okay.
I'm looking here to see.
She did, actually.
Best art direction score. Best performance. Yeah, Maggie Robertson, Resident Evil Village. Yeah.
Lady Dimitrescu.
Yes. Okay. That's who she played as. I don't want to take away her, award or thing. That's perfectly fine that she earned that.
Yeah.
But she's not a developer.
No.
She put in the acting and everything else she needed to do, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But he opened up the show saying we're going to honor our developers and everything else. So they do the Indie Award at the beginning. 52 minutes later, they do the best action game, I think.
Returnal.
Yeah, that was best action game.
Yeah, Returnal, right?
Yeah. So the show for me started at 7. I know it'll be off on other people's whatever things.
Right, whatever time zone you're in.
Yeah, yeah. The show for me started at 7. So at like, you know, 7:05, we get the Indie Award.
Right.
7:52, we get the Action Award. At 8:15, they give out Best Art Direction.
Mm-hmm.
They give that away as an award so the people can come up and talk about, I guess, that. And then right after that, they rattle off 5 more award winners without any sort of fanfare, without any sort of here's the nominees other than a list on the screen for you to see, and then a highlight in yellow of who won. They cut to whoever the winner, the developer was, who's in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then cut back to Jeff to list off the next awards. 5 more. 5 more they rushed through that.
So in the 52-minute gap, they could have done that a little better.
Yeah. At 8:25, they do the narrative award. At 8:50, they do the best action adventure. After that, I stopped keeping track. We've taken the dogs out, and I think Reggie came up to do some award. I wasn't there to see what that one was. That was it.
You had lots of color commentary.
I had a ton of color commentary. A ton of color commentary as I was watching this.
Now, when you say color, do you mean stuff that's not not a good
it was,
SEC?
Some of it was off color.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, I don't want to say I was, you know, yelling profanities at the screen or anything, because I wasn't. But it was more of a situation of, you know, Wendy and I watching it together and saying, "See, this is what they're doing."
I'm still really over 52 minutes of no award. The reason we're sitting here watching this program,
right.
And you got a 52-minute gap, and then you do 5 back to back to back to back in like 2 minutes. Just here's a list. Here's who won. That's who won it. Next topic.
Mm-hmm.
But you had 52. You had a 52-minute gap where you could have put all that stuff in there and gave them the proper time that it deserves.
Yeah, they didn't. They did this again. They rattled off more. Again, I stopped keeping track of it. But at some point later in the night, they did another thing where they just rattled off some more awards.
Was there a nice size gap in between?
I'm sure there was. I stopped keeping track.
Yeah.
Not because I was annoyed, but more because my point had already been proven.
And you were annoyed. He was annoyed. He was.
Yeah. Not throwing controls across the room annoyed, but annoyed nonetheless. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. What was I going to see here? Let's see. That says everything big that was announced. I've seen some other, and I don't have them here. I wish I did. But I had seen a couple of write-ups. I think Destructoid had one and Kotaku had one as well, talking about, hey, the Game Awards needs to change, or here's the problems with the Game Awards, or, you know, just calling things out as to what it is. And I saw a lot of people on forums basically going down the same route, coming around to this thing of like, oh, you're finally realizing the pattern here, which is, you know, this is more of a showcase for new stuff than it is for a showcase to honor developers who have put in a whole lot of time to work on these games that we're doing. And, you know, they've got to find a balance, or they've got to find a way to do both better.
Mm-hmm. Work on your time management.
Because I would love to hear from these developers, not just to thank them, but to whatever they may. It is so, especially the indie guys, when they come up there and win that stuff, they are so happy.
Yeah.
Even some of the AAA guys. I know the Deathloop guys were really happy. They won a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And they were happy to take the stage and win that.
See, they got art direction for Deathloop. What else did they take?
I've got the list here. I can't remember.
Okay.
Because they won a few. It feels like they won more than probably anybody else, but without winning like some of the bigger ones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to find here. See, they didn't win Best Audio Design. They didn't win Best Music. What else did they not win that they were nominated for?
I see a category here in the list, Anticipated Game. Award for a game that hadn't come out yet.
Yeah, they always do that.
Huh, I never noticed that.
They've always done it. In fact, the game that won that won it last year as well. Elden Ring?
Yeah, Elden Ring.
Well, because Elden Ring has been, if it gets pushed back,
okay.
You know, we're yeah, like, oh, Elden Ring. Whoops, not coming out this year. It's coming out next year.
Still want it.
I know.
There you go.
So,
best hype in advertising, I guess you want to call that.
Right, right, right. Well, see, that was another, oh man. Like, I get what he's got to do. I work in a business where you have advertisers. Yeah. You have people to appease because you are getting paid. Mm-hmm. You're getting money from them. Because during that rattling off of those five awards, like here's this, here's this, here's this,
yeah.
They stop after four of them and they switch to this woman who I guess is a YouTuber content creator. I don't know her name, but it was T-Mobile's most, it was the best mobile game presented by T-Mobile or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a sponsor thing. So they got to cut away for her to read off the nominees and to give out the award, even though the people who won still didn't come up on stage. I think they went back to Jeff, who had then rattled off one more award out of a list, or he was bringing somebody else on to talk about their next presentation, whatever it might be.
Right.
I don't know. There's a lot of room for improvement to be made. But I chuckled there at Nabokov saying that I can understand the frustration IGZ have been on the air talking about how bad this show has been for what feels like a decade. It was 2014 when Jeff Keighley started doing the Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we had plenty of things to talk about during those early days. Then they moved to the way that it's done now, which we thought, this is better. It's nice and cleaned up. They're not going for that weird set dressing and trying to, I don't know what they were doing way back when, but it was cringy always. It's still cringy now, less so.
Yeah.
They're getting better at it. This was your first one you've ever seen, Wendy's first time ever seeing it, but they're getting better. They got a ways to go, but they're getting better. If you listen hard enough, you can hear James with a deep sigh and the anger and frustration of his tone and how disheartening it is that video games are still being debated as artful and not just a marketing ploy. I know. I get it. That's all that is. It's a marketing ploy. In fact, when Returnal won what it won, I thought, well, that's not going to help the price to go lower. Sony's going to keep that price up now that it won an award.
Yep.
That's not going to dip. Guardians of the Galaxy won an award as well.
Best narrative, yep. I think.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about that game coming up. But I wanted to get the Game Awards out of the way as far as the rant. We'll go back, but that was just proving my point.
Yeah.
Was that they don't. He opened saying that they wanted to do that, and then they didn't do it. Like, I didn't even need to tell you that. He does it at the beginning of the show. I have always said this is a place where the developers, it's their time to shine, to thank the people that worked on it, to get that recognition, to put a face to the company or whatever the case may be, to show like, hey, this is the guy that did the game that I love or that I voted for. Even if it didn't win, it's like, here they are, these people that do this. They are, what's the term? Unsung hero type stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't know these people. You don't know them. You don't. Yeah. And it's good for them to get that recognition. And this is really the one place where it can happen and should happen. But they never do it. They never do it. And so to have him come out and open the show saying, this is what we're going to do, and then to absolutely not do it, just proved my point. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the games we played. We will go over some great stuff that the Game Awards showed off. I won't... As much as I berate them for what they're doing, it shouldn't be called the Game Awards, you know? It should be called something else that fits better. If you're going to do the Video Game Awards, do it. But cut the filler, cut the fluff, give out awards, you know? But they did show off some great stuff. Some people said I was disappointed, but I was actually I was pleased. There were things that made up for the bad. They were good. The good made up for the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for everything that didn't whatever, tickle my fancy. For everything that didn't appeal to me,
right,
there was something that did that was good enough to make me not care about mm-hmm. what didn't appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And there was enough of that to make me feel like, good, this was worth the 3 whole hours that it showed off. It wasn't. I don't necessarily think it was worth the 3 whole hours.
The 3 hours was tolerable.
Yeah.
Based with the stuff they, with the stuff that came in there, was enough to tolerate.
Yeah, dude. I don't know if you've watched. Have you watched anything
no,
from
I've
that?
Never, I told you I'll do. I just get the recap from the YouTube video later on.
Well, I know, but you can go and watch these trailers of these
trailers
games
because like
there
yeah.
was some really nice stuff. But you're right. I know you had asked me, like, are you going to count the time of, like, how many awards versus how much time they devote to whatever?
Yeah.
I didn't actually do that, but it was enough to show you that this is how it went mm-hmm. for the rest of the night. You know.
Yeah, 52 minutes. That said it all for me.
Right. It's yeah. crap. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat. We'll go over some of the stuff that we saw. Some really good stuff. We'll go over some games that we played as well. Jumping right into it, because for the longest time, for weeks and weeks now, we just rambled like I'm doing right now. This is our first track here as we're going into it. It's all Christmas music, by the way. I played a little bit of Destiny this morning before I got called into work because of severe weather. So, yeah, this the dawning for Destiny 2, their Christmas event, starts next week. This is music from that. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat. Hey, welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Wario World. Shivering Mountains is the name of that track. These are all from previous Christmas shows that we've done, which has been helpful because I just have not had the time to research and look for new ones. It's hard. It's not a lot of holiday music from video games out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've amassed quite a collection over the years from just doing the one show that we do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's jump into some of the things that we saw at... Oops, we have a phone call. I'll tell you what, I'll just take it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go. I'll just go right to the phones. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hey, Chris, what's up, buddy?
Not too much. Y'all check out the Game Awards or anything, or just catch up afterwards?
Oh, no, that's what, we just spent 30-some-odd minutes talking about the Game Awards.
Yeah, I looked at the previews and stuff, you know, on YouTube afterwards and cut out the fat, as you would say, and I like the new Sonic game that's coming out, and you know that in the trailer for the new Sonic movie next year in April. So those are the two I was looking forward to the most, and like from what I saw, and may have been a few other ones that looked interesting as well, but couldn't remember off bat what they were.
Well, we were about to go over those here in just a minute. We talked about, obviously we had to rant about the awards. I ran it for about 30 minutes to talk about the awards and about the lack of them. Now, you see, you're saying, oh, I watched all the things to cut away the fat. That's the thing. the name of the show is the fat that you cut away. You know, it's the Game Awards, but they didn't give any. Or they did, but, you know, they didn't focus any attention on those. They just showed new game reveals. If that's all they did, you'd be fine. You know, and I'm all for that. I'm all for them doing that. Just separate it. That's all. So, yeah, we're going to go over that because the Sonic stuff was kind of surprising. As I was watching it, I was like, is this open world? That'll be interesting to see. They haven't done Sonic in an open world environment, have they?
Yeah, on Dreamcast. The Dreamcast 2.
Which one?
1 and 2. They were
Adventure.
Sonic Adventure?
They weren't completely open world, but they were...
Close enough.
They were closest thing to open world.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I didn't want to count. See, I thought they had, and I just didn't. But the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, you know, that wasn't really open world. I mean, it had basically like world hubs, I suppose. But it wasn't something that was like legitimately this vast open space for you to run. I mean, right. You know, for you to just go all over the place. And that's what. That's what that showed off, I guess, for what's it called? Sonic something?
Sonic Frontiers.
Sonic Frontiers. I feel like that name will change. But yeah, so when that was showing up, I was like, all right. I mean, I'm always.
Yeah, that one really caught my eye, too.
I'm always okay with them. Like, every time they do another Sonic game, I'm like, okay, maybe this will be the one. Not necessarily to break the curse, because I don't feel like there is one, but the majority of Sonic games that they do.
If it's hit and miss, they mostly miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost always a miss. And so anytime they do one, I'm like, well, here's another chance for them to get a hit. Really? It might be a miss, but whatever, we've been here before.
Yeah.
So we'll just wait for the next one to come out and see if that's a hit. That's kind of the way that I look at Sonic games. Or anytime they kind of revamp a film franchise or anything like that, TV franchise, something like that. Mm-hmm. Anytime they do that, I don't get upset about it. I don't. You know, anytime they do a reboot on a series, I'm fine with it, because if it doesn't work, I've still got the old ones, and if it does, then I've got a brand new one. Mm-hmm. You know, and even then, it may work, but it may not work for me. But I'm still okay with it because that means more will come, and it could eventually, you know, fall into my wheelhouse. I'm totally fine with that. Sonic just has a horrible track record of new games.
Yeah.
And so again, I'm hopeful for this one. I liked the idea. I thought, you know, I liked the aspect of, or the prospect of, an open world Sonic game. I'm eagerly awaiting to see how that works and if it works. I would like it to. I hope it does. But yeah, so that and the film looked fine. You know,
yeah.
The sequel looked absolutely fine. So
going to the theater for it.
I mean, we'll see what happens, you know.
I definitely am. Mm-hmm. With him coming back in the Chaos Emerald reveal and Knuckles showing up, I'm really happy. You know, they pretty well hit the nail on the head for me from what I remember of the old cartoons and stuff and the characters and how they, you know, interact in the main story and in the game and stuff. So, yeah, I think they've listened to the fans more than well enough to make a good movie for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good live action anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thanks for calling, man. We're about to jump into all the game reveals and stuff that we had there. I don't know how much of it you watched. I know you said you went back and watched it. Was Sonic the only highlight for you, or was there something else?
I just watched the trailer previews for the different games, and Sonic was one of the main ones I was really interested in that really caught my eye. You know, other ones, you know, like the shooters and other ones, now don't care about this, don't care about that, but there's another one or two in there that I forgot what they were called that looked pretty interesting, but mainly it was the Sonic movie and the new Sonic game that caught my interest.
Well, we're about to go over them there, so we appreciate you calling in, man. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see y'all later.
See you, man.
Take care now.
Bye.
So, yes, let's go over, let's see, that's all the winners. I don't want the winners. See, this says, here's the big announcement. Every new trailer from the Game Awards, maybe that can hold, like, everything that they showed off? Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. So, let's see. There's another one.
Rant imminent.
I know! Because it starts off with Elden Ring. Mm-hmm. So somebody made a perfect point. Jeff opens the show. We're here to honor all these people tonight. Blah 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 blah. But we're going to we need to rush through these developers so we can get this stupid pot thing to come out and give me a card. Yeah, it was. I say stupid pot thing. It was really kind of cool, but it just didn't need to be done. We sat there and waited for this thing to come out. It was nice looking in a. This would be cool if somebody had it at a convention walking around the show floor for people to interact with kind of thing, not to wait for it to come out on stage and then hand a card to Jeff so he could read, like, oh, here's Elden Ring, here's footage. Yeah. It was the cinematic story trailer that they gave for it, so you kind of, I guess,
yeah,
understand what was going on. Nobody needed it, but it was nice to see. Because I don't think it showed off a bit of gameplay. It just set up a story. That's fine. We had already had gameplay in the form of that, you know, test thing that they were doing.
Yep.
So that was okay. But yeah, such a stupid thing. So yeah, we got Elden Ring story stuff. There was a lot of good reveals. A lot of here's more gameplay of this, or here's something you didn't even know was being made. Here is, you know, they were really able to keep things quite secretive. That was something that was impressive, was that the leaks held. Yeah. In other words, everything that they were holding back, the floodgates of rumors and whatever, yeah, it all held because there were some genuine surprises. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting Hellblade 2's, you know, maybe I was thinking, oh, sure, we're going to get a Hellblade 2 trailer. That's fine. We got Hellblade 2 gameplay. And the gameplay was fantastic. Was stunning to look at because, I mean, even when Jeff introduced it, he said that it was highly cinematic gameplay.
Yeah.
And did you watch that?
I saw the highlight reel from the Game Awards, and yeah, it was like the delusions, so to speak, are more grander, more intense, really.
Well, yeah, but because
you, at the gameplay, really, it was just something that's like, oh, this is a. Got my interest on that.
Yeah, I know.
It got worse. It's getting worse for us.
Well, it's like, yeah. Suddenly. So it goes into what looks like a cutscene.
Yeah,
and it took me longer than it would normally take for me to realize, oh, we've shifted to gameplay.
Yeah,
because whenever the camera moved behind her and she started moving, I still felt like we were in the cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until she had moved a good bit in that same direction or in that same sort of POV that we had that I realized, oh, yeah, wait, we're in gameplay now.
Yeah.
Normally, you can really tell the shift. This one was far more subtle, and I don't know if it's because of whoever was playing that gameplay made it that way,
mm-hmm,
or if this is just how it plays out. Some games are able to blend that or to blur that line, I suppose.
Yeah.
Some make it fairly obvious that we've gone now from cinematic to gameplay aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, really, really impressed with how well that transition was.
Yeah.
Game looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was no doubt that it was going to look beautiful.
Disturbingly beautiful.
I know. When that giant yeah, comes up there and yeah, he's all like, which...
Reaching out for it. Yeah, it was
a giant, little... man, he can take some damage.
Mm-hmm.
He was already damaged.
He was damaged as is, but he got more damaged and kept coming.
And so he kept coming. Yeah, I know.
And then you say, but knowing the aspect of the game is like, okay, is it real or is it delusion? There's confusion. Like, what am I going to do here in this spot? You know, but immediately you're thinking, okay, back up, get some distance. You need to get away from this thing, real mm-hmm, or real or otherwise. Get yeah, away from it. Yeah.
No, that was a good showcase. Mm-hmm. Hellblade 2 is something that obviously I need to play the first one.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice. That was really nice to see. oddly enough, and people have pointed this out on the online as well, was that right after Jeff's "We will not tolerate harassment and everything else in our game industry."
Right.
Here's a look at our first game made by a company that has already gotten,
going through some stuff.
Is going through Quantic Dream.
Yeah.
They're having some issues, Quantic Dream is, but like, you know, We'll not tolerate that stuff. Here's our first game from a company that, well, I guess we'll tolerate it from them. But yeah, Star Wars Eclipse. I didn't even know. See, I thought EA held the Star Wars game rights.
Right.
I thought they did, but obviously that is, I don't know. I'd love to see whatever their contract is. Like, you're allowed to work on this game. It's like, you can work on Star Wars games, but you can only have single player if it is based on this realm of our Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I'm thinking only certain elements, character.
I know.
Make an original character.
Yeah.
Or someone from a novel that we don't really care about. Someone in the outskirts of the Star Wars universe.
Lethal Migraine says that Disney opened it up to everyone about 2 years ago. That makes perfect sense. And I want to say you're absolutely right on that, because I think I do remember hearing about that, because some other company made a Star Wars game, and I can't remember who it was. Some other company had announced that they were making a Star Wars game. Probably, no, that's owned by EA. I'm not sure. But some other company announced it, and we thought, okay, well, I guess that means that they're not involved anymore. Or don't have to be. And yeah, so Quantic Dream, the king of QTEs, the king of...
Press X to David.
Right. Jason.
Jason.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think of David.
I don't know.
That was someone else.
David Cage is the guy who runs Quantic Dream.
Okay.
He's the you know, I don't want to say the pitch man, but he's the dude, you know, the face of the company, I suppose. But yeah, they're making a Star Wars game. And then, all right, cool. As Wendy and I were watching this, I thought they're probably going to reveal that this is in some, like, there's Star Wars fans who are seeing this and knowing exactly what this is. I have no idea. I get that it's Star Wars, it's easy to recognize characters, but the setting or the place or some of the people that they're showing off, there are some people who are like, this is taking place during this time, whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with the Star Wars franchise. I mean, they'll QTE it up. So, set in the High Republic era of the Star Wars galaxy. So, yeah. Lost Ark was revealed. That, I think, is an Amazon Games thing. I missed that one. I don't know where I was at the time when that was on the screen. But I missed that reveal. I was there for when Monolith announced a Wonder Woman game that they're working on. Monolith, who does the Shadow of Mordor series.
Okay.
The Monolith who does the Nemesis system, which I love and wish, I was hoping more games would adopt that. I thought this is a fantastic way to, I guess, organize your enemies. I'm not sure. But it's a really neat system to sort of give you that next objective type thing of like, well, what am I going to do now? Well, let me check the Nemesis system. Oh, there's a guy over here, or he's close by, or something that I could discover more about. Anyway, they're putting the Nemesis system into this Wonder Woman game that will be released at some point down the line. I don't know.
Yeah.
Got a trailer for... I wasn't sure at the time. Well, I was, until they showed off like the main character reveal, the narration, everything else that was going on, I was like, that's Alan Wake. That's Alan Wake 2. Mm-hmm. They're doing Alan Wake 2. And then when it got to the main character and he turned around and revealed himself, I said, oh, nope, that's not. And then it was. Because the main character that they... There we go. I'm sorry. The main character that they had up there did not look like Alan Wake, but suddenly this flash of this face came on screen for like, I don't know, a couple seconds. And I realized that, oh, no, that is Alan Wake.
That's your boy. Yeah.
We got Alan Wake 2 announced. 2023 for the release date on that.
Right.
Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate is coming to PC. That's great for people who wanted it on PC. I really don't know anything about it. I'm not a Final Fantasy guy. I know 7's huge, and I know the remake for 7 was great, but yeah, it's coming to PC, so good. That's great for PC people. Destiny 2 got a Witch Queen trailer. live action mixed with the video game stuff. The interesting part of that was they were showing off all this stuff, and then when Jeff came back, he's like, everything you saw was from the very first mission of the game. And I thought, oh, all right. Which is only to say that they're going to run you through the first mission that will somehow, I guess, because in that they showed you fighting the Witch Queen. You're going to fight her, and then she's going to go off, and then you're going to have to fight her in something else, the raid or something later on, I'm sure.
Is it a typical thing where the boss does something, you can't take her down yet, you have to go through the story to build yourself up to take her down, that type of thing?
I think so, yeah.
Show off how strong the Witch Queen is at the very beginning.
Yeah, it's kind of like Metroid or Zelda. You start the game with all this stuff, and you fight the boss. The boss wins, and then you've got to get all your stuff back or something like that. You're not going to lose anything, but you're going to fight the boss at the very beginning, only so that you can realize how this is going to work, so you fight her later in the game.
Yeah, it's like in the game. I remember Chaos Legion, I think it was on PS2, play that game. But it was like, you saw how powerful your character could be at the very beginning. But if something happens and your like crest breaks, now you have to go hunt all your stuff back.
They did that in Destiny 2. When Destiny 2 released, like one of your first missions, or any of the missions that gave you one of your super abilities.
Right.
Was suddenly in a realm where the recharge rate was almost instant. Mm-hmm. So you could just spam all this stuff and just have fun with it. And then after that, it's like,
back to normal.
Basically.
Yeah.
We got a new game from the maker of Silent Hill called Slitterhead.
Yeah, I saw that. The first thing came to mind was Parasite. If you ever heard of the anime or the manga.
You gave me that anime.
Yeah, Parasite. Parasite the Maxim. Yeah. Aliens come down, take over humans, and they go around in society not knowing that they're there until they eat somebody.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people getting ate in that video I saw of it.
Yeah, it was just did you watch the trailer for Slitterhead?
I saw the video of it for Slitterhead, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like... looks human, and then they open their mouth, and then stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now you're running for your life.
We're gonna hold off there because we do need to take a break. We'll come back and get into more of the trailers when we come back from this break. Music here from a game called Bar Oasis 2?
Yeah. Must be one of mine.
I think it is. It's Silent Night. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Ukulele, Glitter Glaze Glacier. I think I did do this one last week. Yeah. That's weird. I feel like I didn't... I don't know. Maybe that one didn't make it over or something. Except the next one's correct, so I don't know. Interesting. Welcome back to the show. We are running down all the big reveals and everything from the Game Awards, not going over the awards at all because, really, you know, they didn't care to do it. But, yeah, there was we left off here with something from, well, it's not from BioWare. It's from the former boss of BioWare. He made a brand new crafting survival game called Nightingale. And we saw the trailer for that. I enjoyed the art style in this. I was like, oh, what is this? This looks really, really interesting. So it was, yeah, it was a Victorian world with giants and all sorts of creatures and steampunk and all this stuff. It's launching in early access next year, a PC exclusive for that one. We did see the new Lord of the Rings Gollum, but it was a cinematic trailer, not really anything showing off any kind of a gameplay or anything like that. A new trailer for Somerville, which is from one of the guys, or is it both of them? I don't know. The guys who did Limbo and Inside.
Okay.
Yeah. Got the new DLC for, well, I say the DLC. It is the Delicious Last Course, which is the DLC, if you put it in the, you know, that's what it is. It's DLC Island. Yeah. Cuphead has, I guess, that's their final DLC they're releasing for the game?
More Cuphead, yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting to get more Cuphead, given that that is a fully hand-animated game.
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort to make that game.
But yeah, then...
We appreciate it, too.
Oh, so, I know. I know you do. Sonic the Hedgehog, we got Sonic Frontiers and that sort of thing. What did we get? Warhammer Vermintide, Warrior Priest... Vermintide 2, actually. Warhammer Vermintide 2 Warrior Priest. Some game that I'm... Oh, man. I don't know how to pronounce it. T-C-H-I-A.
Chia?
Maybe.
T'Challa?
Yeah, something based in... Oh, what did they say it was? They said it in the trailer, or at least talked about it as they were introducing the trailer. It's one of the islands in it, but it's not like Hawaii or anything like that. It was some other some other island nation type thing. It looked interesting.
New Caledonia?
Yep, that's the one, New Caledonia, where she could become any animal or any animal on the island or any animal around. So, you know, if she needed to traverse whatever, become a bird.
I think one of the things was it was a bird thing. She was like jumping off a cliff or something, and there was a bird in the distance, and like a beam went out to the bird, and it pulled her into it, and now she's the bird or something like that.
But she could be other things, too, like I think a torch or a lamp or something. I don't know. There was other things, like not just living objects, but inanimate objects, I suppose. I'm not sure. Oh, boy. We've got our first gameplay of Suicide Squad from Rocksteady Studios. It did not hook me at all. I went online to read some of the reception that the game got. It was received fairly well. I was expecting a lot of people not to like what they saw, but apparently a lot of people liked what they saw. I did not. It did not interest me whatsoever.
Nothing hooked you about it, huh?
No. Some of the traversal aspects were kind of neat, but that wasn't going to save it for me. That wasn't going to bring me in.
So what would have done it for you? What needed to stand out to get your interest in this game?
Something better than a shooter.
Something more than a shooter.
Yeah. Okay. This was just like shoot everything. I don't know. Other games do that and that's fine. It's not something I guess I expected from
Rocksteady. Is it possible because of their work on Batman that's coloring your perception?
Well, I mean, three Batman games from them and a specific formula from that. I understand that they couldn't kind of go back to that.
Right.
But I don't know. I suppose, I don't know. It's just like Duke says in the thing. It's a very good question. Like, what would have done it for you? I'm not sure.
It sounds like because in the Batman games, you know, you had the Well, there wasn't any shooting, really, except from the villains. I mean, you had your hand-to-hand, you had your detective work, you had your searching aspect, you had your having to work with the Batmobile, things like that. You know,
maybe
all
that's
types
it.
Of other things.
Maybe it's the combat aspect that I didn't like about it. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's all they showed was the combat aspect.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was nothing but shooting, really. Just
well, I mean, if that, but see, that this is your first gameplay reveal, so that tells me that sets the tone for what your game is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a squad-based shooter, in a sense.
Yeah,
I mean, game's called Suicide Squad, so it seems like it's a squad-based shooter type thing, mm-hmm. and that's not what I wanted. You know?
Fair enough.
I kind of expected that. See, that's the other thing that I'm leaning into is like, is this, are they going for a games as service type thing, a constantly evolving sort of situation? I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, Duke Frucum says they went Avengers on us. I suppose. It looked better than Avengers. But it still didn't entice me.
I'd rather have Gotham City Imposters again.
Right?
Yeah.
That was fun. I mean, that game didn't take itself seriously.
It was a simple little game, and the main point of that game was it was just pure fun.
Yeah, that's a good Duke Frucum put it. They went Avengers on us, and I'm not necessarily saying because Avengers is bad that this will be bad, but even when Avengers showed off their gameplay, that didn't hook me because I was like, I don't whatever this is, I don't like it.
Yeah.
This whole group aspect thing,
mm-hmm.
which I get that you have that because it is the Avengers is a group aspect. Suicide Squad is a group aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But pull it off in a way where I can be any of the ones in the group or make the story so that you're only playing as one of them with help from the others, if that's the case, mm-hmm. as you go through it. And each chapter may put you in a different shoe of the squad or of the team or whatever the case may be. I don't know.
Yeah, they can do that. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Duke, I would love for that. He says I'd rather have Batman 4. I agree. Given what we've seen, I would have rather had Batman 4 as well. I was looking for, I'm sure they're tired of doing that. I get it. I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Amy was tired of doing Uncharted. That's all she ever did after it was successful.
Yeah.
You know, they never came. Sony never came to her. Naughty Dog never, whatever the case. Sony never came to them after Uncharted and Uncharted 2. And they never said, well, work on something else. They said, when's our next Uncharted? You know, mm-hmm. you can work on something else, but we want this by this date.
Yeah.
You know, which made it hard to work on anything else.
Yeah.
And once that game was done and released, the next time they came back, well, we want this again. You can work on something else. Of course, now Last of Us. And so, but that's the thing is that
if something breeds success, they want to keep bringing that same title over and over again.
Now, WB Games had the ability to say, well, we've got these other studios. We'll let them work on that for you. We want something new from you guys, but stay in the DC Universe aspect. You know, stick with the comics. Do what you did for Batman, but do it with something else. And they pick mm-hmm. Suicide Squad. I say that I don't know what the directive was from the higher ups mm-hmm. on telling them what to do. I do remember they were working on something and they had to scratch it completely altogether and start over from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that was that they were working on. I feel like it was a Superman game because I know that has to be your next step, right? You've done three games of Batman, and you've done them very well.
Mm-hmm.
So why not go after, you know...
One of the most difficult games to make based on a character is Superman.
I know.
Yeah, it is true.
I know.
But then they went from... But then another aspect to think about is they went from single to team-based. Like you said, Suicide Squad. Batman is about Batman. Yeah. Anybody else in there is just like a side story, some little DLC or something like that with Robin or... Batgirl, things of that nature.
I mean, this it could, you know, it could pull me in if it is a fully on, and I don't know how many people are in the Suicide Squad, but if it is completely, entirely co-opable,
mm-hmm.
where everybody on the team, and I don't mean you playing as Harley, so you get teamed with somebody else randomly who's playing as this person, mm-hmm. I don't need that.
Yeah.
But I need the option to say, hey, can we all jump in this? And let's do that. that might pull some fun towards me. Yeah. You know what? And I might be receptive of this if the other game, you know, Gotham Knights or whatever it is that they're working on, if that feeds the part of me that wants what I want from Suicide Squad, but it gives it to me in that other Batman game, then maybe I'm a little bit more receptive to that. But like, okay, I got my cake and I can eat that, and you know, now let's see what you've brought to the table here. Yeah. I don't know.
I was looking in the chat room. They got some, Lethal's got a suggestion. Says, want a Superman game, just reskin Sunset Overdrive like they did for Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, not for nothing, but a lot of people's receptiveness to that Suicide Squad was like, oh, this is very Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
Whatever it was doing, especially the traversal and the shooting and everything, looked very, very, it did have an air of Sunset Overdrive to it.
Yeah.
Even though it's a completely different team.
Yeah. Let's also talk about the David Cage Star Wars game, but you know, they missed that.
Yeah, we did talk about about that earlier.
Yeah. The king of QTEs.
Oh yeah, Quantic Dream. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forspoken, they showed more gameplay of that, had the two actors come out on stage to talk about that, and they showed some more from Forspoken. Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2. I remember Space Marine 1, and I remember being interested in it, but I never actually played it. Yeah. Saints Row got a new gameplay trailer, but it was just basically a lot of explosions. This is still not a game that I know that it took. Apparently, got a lot of criticism for when they showed off or talked about it last time they released anything.
Yeah, it was basically just a reboot.
I mean, yeah,
it's a reboot, and they don't like the basic core of the criticism was like. A reboot, really? I mean, did you really need a reboot? So, okay, you're going a different direction, and the characters they picked was just, I think, nothing relatable about them. So,
yeah, they showed off some gameplay, and I just was like, yeah, all right.
I guess, just let us. We'll have to see more. What other aspects you got? What else you got for this title?
I mean, what they showed was like, that's Saints Row to me. Okay, yeah. Good. Saints Row. We're going to get more Saints Row in a different setting with some different characters, I suppose. I don't know. This was a lot of gameplay, but not necessarily a lot of context for the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
As far as not, maybe Saints Row never really needed context.
Yeah, I mean, because Saints Row was kind of, it was like, I think the thing about Saints Row is when they first started out was trying to be real serious, try to be the GTA competitor, and then they went off the wall with the story and things like that, and that made it stand out a little more.
Yeah.
And then they had a little more of that with Saints Row. I think it started in 3 when they started going off the wall. Then you had the presidential edition.
Yeah.
Their superpowers in there. Maybe they went a little too far, so tried to go back. 2 went a little bit in there.
3 went all the way, and then 4 went, you know.
Completely bananas. So I guess they're trying to pull it back with the reboot, really?
Maybe. But I mean, maybe some of the stuff I was seeing in that trailer was like, Saints Row. That's, you know, just it had that vibe to it, but yeah.
Yeah, so.
Dune Spice Wars. Okay. It's a 4X RTS. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. They showed off some more of that. Among Us is getting a VR adaptation to that. Dokev, I don't know. That was weird. That game will always be weird. Every time they show off that game, I'm gonna feel weird about it. It just looks odd to me. It looks great, but it also looks weird. I don't know why.
From the clip I'm just seeing, it's just kids dancing, doing the idol type thing.
I know, but like the whole environment just looks great. Like the city stuff and everything else. I'm like, man, this looks really good.
The background of the city looks fine, but all it's just the characters.
Then you're playing with this character that's like, you don't fit. You don't fit the rest of the world. Rumbleverse, a battle royale from Epic Games.
Yeah.
The Plague Tale Requiem looked really, really good. It's a game I need to finish.
It's like the rats took over in that thing, didn't it?
It did, but I don't think they highlighted the rats at all in the sequel trailer.
Well, whatever it was, I mean, dudes was like sitting there on the dock just prepping something. All of a sudden, the walls blow up and here they come in full force.
It seems like they're moving away from that, though, maybe, because that looked I don't remember seeing any rats in that trailer at all. Mm-hmm. Halo TV series, we got a first look at that. Good to see. Nice. Okay. We'll see how it plays out. A co-op shooter called Ark Raiders. It looked really nice for that. Tunic, well, that got a release date. Homeworld 3 got a trailer I didn't even know. Texas Chainsaw Massacre from the Friday the 13th devs. Mm-hmm. Nice to see that they're doing that. I like that it's called a game based on true events. What else? The Expanse was getting a Telltale game from that. Mm-hmm. Or Telltale Games is doing Expanse. Evil West, Have a Nice Death. Was another one that I missed completely on that one. And what was that? They showed off that Unreal Engine 5 demo thing, The Matrix Awakens. That was kind of interesting to see. Mm-hmm. On once it unlocked. Like, they showed a trailer for it.
Yeah.
And, like, Jeff's all gushing and said, yeah, go play this now. I didn't play it till the next day. It's an interactive demo in kind of in the vein of PT in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's a trailer, but you kind of play the trailer and then you can kind of explore the tech of Unreal Engine 5 within the city that they built, which is this massive city that they have built.
Mm-hmm.
Completely explorable.
Yeah.
Can't go into the buildings that I know of. There's a few cars. There's a lot of cars. There's a few of them that you can drive.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I read, and I want to say I had that in one of my show notes, maybe, or I might have gotten rid of it. There's... I don't know why they said this in this article. The Matrix Awakens contains 38,146 drivable cars. And then it says, of which we can drive none. I'm not sure about that, because I totally could drive those cars and wreck those cars.
Burnout.
The mechanics of the driving and the physics of the driving are not that great, but you're still driving in this world that just looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The loading for it was just instantaneous. You start off with Keanu Reeves talking to you, and at first I'm like, I think that's actually Keanu. And then as it went on, I was like, wait, no.
Not Keanu.
Yeah, that's looking a little video gamey, but it's looking really good video gamey. But there's it was blurring some lines until, like, headshot, neck up, close, difficult to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You pull away and start putting clothes on these people, instantly takes away the illusion.
Yeah.
Because they can't get cloth right. They couldn't get it right in the Matrix sequel. Like, you could tell when Neo was a computer and when he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly due to what he was wearing.
Yeah.
The way the physics of the cloth was moving around in the scene, it's not real.
Giveaway.
Like, go back and watch Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
It's easy to do that when your suit is skin tight, because that's the skin. You can make the skin do what it's doing.
Right.
But Doc Ock or whatever has this trench coat.
Mm-hmm. That flaps in the wind.
Right. In certain scenes, man, it's like, you know what? I can tell that. First off, you can tell it just because of what's going on in the scene, obviously.
Right.
But a dead giveaway is always going to be the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be this flowing coat thing.
Yeah.
Capes don't do it so much, but when you have like a cloth coat that has, because it actually physically exists,
mm-hmm.
whenever you see him wearing it, and then they have to translate that into some sort of computer generated thing, and that's where the
unnatural folds.
Yeah, that's where it kind of goes away, and you're like,
the physics ain't working right.
Yeah.
Can you recall anyone who's done it right? Who's done cloth? Who's done clothes right?
Somebody has, because I remember seeing it and thinking, it's good. In video games or in like...
Video games.
In video games.
Who's done clothing right? Yeah. Getting the physics right.
I can't give you an answer on that. Somebody probably has one, but yeah. I can't at the top of my head. I can't think of any myself either.
But I'm guessing. Would you guess it would be a AAA title that did that? Did it right?
I mean, Hellblade looked really, really good. Although mm-hmm. they weren't wearing so much as like loincloths and things. Yeah. So it was, you know.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You don't have a reference that exists in the real world mm-hmm. of what it is type of thing.
But loincloth.
No. I'm just saying when you're watching a movie,
yeah.
somebody is physically wearing the item.
Yeah.
And as soon as it switches to a CG thing, you can tell because you've mm-hmm. seen what that looks like real,
yeah.
and now you're seeing what that looks like CG.
Mm-hmm.
Hitman or Tomb Raider, that's a good one. Hitman, likely, although they make the suit his skin anyway, and anytime he changes into clothes, it's just some sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mainly talking about... I've never played a Hitman game and gotten confused of like, is that a real person or is that a whatever? That's never happened to me. Mm-hmm. Never happened with Tomb Raider. They try to do it in this Matrix thing
mm-hmm.
until, of course, you see the clothes and it's like, eh, I get that.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's really something to see. If you've got a PlayStation 5, a Series S, or a Series X, it's a free download and you'll play this interactive trailer thing and there's some humor in there or whatever. You're blowing up cars and stuff. But as soon as that's over with, they put you in they go through this tech demo where you can physically change night and day and all this other stuff. They're showing off, like, here's how this world was built. And once it's done, they put you in it and you can get in a car. You can run around the city if you want to. There's a mode that says fly, but basically that's when you get free range of the camera to move around the city in all angles.
Mm-hmm.
And that was amazing to see because immediately I went straight up. And I said, let's see how big we're working with. And I looked and I was like, okay. And then I turned the camera around to see what was behind me. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my. This is huge.
Mm-hmm.
This place is massive. It's not a lot of fun to play around with except for that because there's nothing really to do other than drive a car or walk around it or move the camera. That's mm-hmm. it. But to see that just going around the area, it was... It was a fantastic looking demo to think, okay, this is where we're at game wise. Loading, it's just unreal. Mm. Well, I mean, it is unreal. Unreal yeah. Engine. It was a good Unreal 5 thing. So there you go. That's it. That took us an hour. and I want to get to other stories here, but I also want to talk about what we played because we have played some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since Wendy wasn't here for the last episode, and she's got some stuff that she played. And I really want to get her thoughts on VR.
Mm-hmm.
She got to try out VR. This is her first time trying
VR.
Yeah. So when we come back, we'll do that. We've got music here from Monster Hunter World. Winter Star Festival, maybe, is what that says. All I have is Winter Star and then FE after that. So I don't know what else it says. But we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In Game Chat.
It's got to be a jam into this remix, aren't you?
Yeah, old Santa Wendy over there trying to get her hat
lost
straight. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Music here from Diddy Kong Racing, Snowflake Mountain.
Yep. So that's the rule, isn't it? If it's, if it's an ice-based stage,
yeah,
it's going to have Christmassy music to it.
It will. Yeah. Always does. Always does. So, welcome back to the show. We're going to get into the games that we played. RJ, let's just start with you. What have you played?
Mostly Virtua Fighter 5. I'm trying to get my fight count up.
Hey, man, Guilty Gear won Best Fighting Game.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I didn't think it would. I thought it would be that anime cliche thing would hurt it. But no, it stood above it all. So, yeah,
yep.
Congrats to them, man.
I did say that. Title. I said RJ will be pleased with that win.
Yeah, it's a good title. It's a good title. So, yeah, it's and it's getting some DLC. They revealed Biken. Coming out as DLC, so everybody was hyped about that. So yeah, but yeah, Virtua Fighter 5 is what I've been playing mostly. I was trying to get my fight count up. I got it handed to me the other day. Playing that, I played a Lao player, basically a character that I haven't had too much experience with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the nature of fighting games. You know, when you play a character, you have to get experience playing that character. You got to know what that person's capable of. So that shows me, as bad as that match went, it was like, basically, yeah, there's a lot of things I'm not familiar with, but that's the part of learning the process of the game. You got to get more matches under your belt to get more familiarity with it. Trying to stave off loss of rank, but in terms of learning things, you can't really focus on that, really. So, so there's going to be times when I go up in rank, down in rank, and it'll even itself out. I mean, I've seen people with four times as many matches as I do, and they're like one rank above me. I'm like, really, that's a lot of going up and down. That's a lot of going back and forth in terms of rank. Mm-hmm. Then I have folks who have about the same amount of rank that I do, but they're six or seven levels above me. So that's goodness. I mean, it's being consistent, really.
Mm.
I've seen people with 25, 30, sometimes 50-match win streaks going on. So that does play a factor into it. But that's what I'm working on, trying to get that down, get my count up, and see if I can get up in the upper ranks level 41 ranks. Right now I'm at like level 30.
Yeah.
Right now, but I've only had like 360 matches right now. So just
as I pick it up, 360 matches. It's only that many.
Look, like I just said, there's people with three or four times as many matches as I do.
I
got to work on it, man.
It's like when you're walking around, when you're playing Destiny or whatever, but when I'm playing Destiny, the first week or the first couple of days of a new expansion, everybody starts at, on the season pass, they start at level one or whatever it is. You start at one and you go from there. Like right now I'm in the 150s. It goes up to 100 when you're getting items. After that, it keeps counting, but you're up like, 150, whatever. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
But you'll be walking around after the first few days of an expansion, and there's dude with like 500 and something. Like he is grinded and great. And just, yeah. Ugh. Do you play anything?
No, else? Like I said, it's most of what I've been doing this week, really, trying to get the count up.
I know you've played VR before, but
yeah.
I want you to come in early next week. I say early, but around this time next week.
Okay.
Because we're going to bring the VR up here. That's the fun thing about the Oculus Quest 2.
It's easy to set up. Yeah.
I just bring the headset and the controllers, and you just make your own VR space. Yeah, that's it.
Stumble around. We're going to do it in here. No.
I know.
Can't do it in here, though.
Got to get the phone ready so I can videotape him trying to grab objects that aren't actually there. For us, anyway, as we watch him do it. But yeah. I didn't play any new VR stuff. We tried out some new VR stuff, but I played Guardians of the Galaxy mostly.
Okay.
And I've been putting in the time into that because I don't want to do to it what I had done with other games, which is play a little bit of it. Then I stop and play just like I've done with, Plague's Tale. Started Plague's Tale, didn't finish it. And now it's been a while since I've been back.
Yeah.
But now I'm on this Guardians kick, and so I'm playing that. I really do love the game. It is growing on me immensely. It did not start out that way. It's not that it started out with me hating it. It just wasn't clicking for me as we were going. I was like, this is nice, but this isn't. But as you keep going, I applaud, and I was going to say this even before it won the award. It helps that the award was won, but
yeah. Best narrative, right?
Not just narrative, but
no, I mean the award was for best narrative, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was, yeah. But not just the narrative. The character development.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you get to know so much more about these characters that you're, because you never play any of the other characters. You're only playing Peter. That's it. Yeah. Peter Quill, that's all you play. Mm-hmm. And you do learn about him as well, at least the character that is in this game. Please mm-hmm. don't think of the movies. There are aspects of the characters from the films. There are aspects of that that are in these characters of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes so much further than that. They can do that because they have a 30-hour-plus campaign for you to learn these characters.
Yeah.
Whereas a movie gives you 2 hours, 2.5, yeah. maybe.
I mean, there was scenes in there that I looked at with Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, clips on YouTube and whatnot. And I remember interaction between Peter and Zamora.
Gamora.
Yeah, there was like learning things about it. Oh, I didn't know. I really didn't know that about her. I knew she mm-hmm. had some harsh upbringing, but I didn't know that much
yeah.
about her. My goodness.
No, it really yeah. works. It really does work, and the combat has gotten better. Like as you progress and level up your team,
right.
The combat does get better. All of it is getting better and better and better the more I play. I was mm-hmm. already blown away by the environmental design that they had done for the opening mission, which is like the title mission.
Right.
Like once you finish that first one, the title card appears, and it does it in a way that's nice and quirky, whatever. But yeah, so. That was beautiful. The next planet you go to, Lady Hellbender, is that what her mm-hmm. name was? Yeah. That planet looked really, really gorgeous as you're playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been massively impressed with the environmental details. The combat is just getting better and better as I go. The interactions between the characters and the story, the way it's all unfolding, is just better and better and better and better. So I am all in on this thing,
mm-hmm.
and I look forward to playing more of it as I go along. Mm-hmm. So really, that's what I play. Now, I'm going to toss it over to Wendy because she wasn't here last week to talk about some of the games she's played. And I know you played we got the Ring Fit for the Switch. Yeah. I almost call it the Wii for the Switch. Have you only played what I saw you play? Is that all that you've done?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that's it so far on the Ring Fit.
It does provide a workout, by the way.
It does. Yes, it does.
It does provide a workout.
I'm just, you know, into the VR. I like that.
Yeah, did you play anything else, though?
No.
That was it. Yeah,
that
yeah.
was it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and so she tried out VR. So we put the Oculus. By the way, Oculus Quest 2 people. The referral upgrade for the referral thing goes until the end of the year, where if you get an Oculus Quest 2 and I give you a referral link, you're going to get $60. 60, by the way. It was 30. Now they've doubled it.
Mm.
You'll get $60 to spend any way you want to, not on the system itself, but maybe on an accessory that you want or maybe on games that you want. You'll get $60 to spend at the Oculus store,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get $60 to spend at the Oculus store. I say I will, but whoever refers you will get it as well. So keep that in mind. That's only until the end of the year, and I'm more than happy to refer as many people as I'm able to get that back, because that's real nice to have. But yeah, this was your first venture into VR, was it not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that you did, so the first thing was the hub world where you get to pick your stuff. So like your first setting was like this house setting mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
And it was just fun for you to kind of look at. And I think I put you in, the first thing I put you in was like the streets of Seattle.
Yes. And I was about 8 feet tall.
You got vertigo because the camera is taller than what you look at the world through.
Yes.
And so you felt like, wait a second.
I felt like I was standing up, you know, like on a little pedestal or something. And mm-hmm. I had people coming up to me, looking up at me and like, you know, giving me side eye like they wanted to start something.
Hmm.
in this thing. I don't know. It was just really strange.
It's like you were Lady Dimitrescu all of a sudden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I loved it, though, except for the part of feeling like I'm falling, you know. Once I kind of got over that, I'm still trying to get over that, but once I got used to that.
Yeah, it's the thing that, like I was mentioning earlier, like, you know, I know my feet are on the ground. I could feel that,
yeah,
but my eyes
matter.
Are telling me something completely different, though. So.
Yeah, you get a little bit of vertigo. There's a sense of vertigo. See, for me, my vertigo is whatever that thing, megalophobia, I think is what it is, where giant things, big things that shouldn't be that big, give me a sense of vertigo almost immediately upon looking at it, because I just, you can look up the thing and there's videos and there's pictures and things like that that can get that. You may not have it, but I can remember specifically when it started for me was as a kid visiting a big city and walking up to some of the buildings because you got to go into the building. Well, the building is gigantic. And I would get up to I would go right up to the wall and I would look straight up. And I would get this sense of the building sort of moving. I would get this unease, this sense of vertigo that I am going to fall over.
Yeah.
And immediately upon seeing pictures that sort of display something large like that, it triggers vertigo in me almost immediately. And I get a sense of, I don't want to see any more of that, you know? And so there was this animation. There's something called VR animation. It's a free app. And people create these animation things. I watched one that was a quick scene from Into the Spider-Verse. When he jumps off the building for the first time, when he's got his powers and he does that thing and it does that whole upside down city, whatever. There was 3D aspects to it. It was all handmade, but it was done very well. And there were 3D aspects, whatever. I was like, this is really cool. But they had a section for giant things, like when you're standing next to, and one was the Iron Giant. Mm-hmm. Like you can stand at his feet and he's walking towards you and you're in this 3D realm and you can look at him. And I said, I'm going to try it.
You couldn't do it.
I was like, there's this thing I want you to do, but I'm going to try it. And so I clicked on it, and I immediately closed my eyes, and I looked down, and I sort of like half look, because you can't put your hands in front of the screen.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know where they're going to put me. And they put you right at his feet. And so I'm watching his feet walk towards me as the camera's moving. Couldn't do it. I could not look up. I couldn't look up. And I told her, and she's standing there watching it. I was like, I can't look up. I can't do it. And so I took it off, gave it to her, and she did it and was like, very big.
Very big, yeah.
I couldn't do it. I could not do it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it when we were talking about it, I was thinking about Mirror's Edge. I was looking at it in VR, and it was like, I guess there is something for Oculus for Mirror's Edge in there. And I'm just thinking, wow, that game in VR would probably really, really be intense for first-time VR users or anything of that nature.
Yeah.
Because that game is involved in all types of jumping off of stuff and rolling around and sliding through and dealing with heights and things of that nature. So I can imagine that.
Well, we put her in a roller coaster thing first. And that was okay. It was kind of neat, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know how it did for you.
I didn't get the feeling.
No.
You know, I didn't get the... You know how you lose your stomach or whatever.
Yeah, you didn't get the sense of speed, the sense of like the wind rushing in your face. For an example, you're not going to get that from VR on a roller coaster. You're going to feel literally. You're going to literally feel.
There were some moments of getting that. Yeah, there was very few and far between the moments of like, oh, okay, there we go. That got me. But
yeah, at the most you're going to get is like anticipation. Your body anticipates that feeling when you go down when you go downhill on the roller coaster, but yeah, you're not going to feel too many things are missing, I guess, from an actual roller coaster ride that's in VR.
What else did you, what other stuff did you try out or what else did you like? I know you wanted me to do, I got the Walking Dead game. You still haven't played it.
I will try that out.
You going to throw punches?
No. You can stab them in the head because it's zombies.
I shot some people.
Okay.
And I was good.
When did you do that?
I was actually...
Which one was that one?
You set me up with it.
I know, but what game? I don't remember what it was.
I don't know, but because you were saying that when you shoot in VR, it's not accurate. Or
no, it's very accurate.
Yeah, you have to be. And I was like hitting everything. But yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, you did. There's a little introduction VR thing, and she was playing because where you can pick up items and you could shoot targets and stuff, and then this robot wanted to dance with her.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome to watch on the outside.
Batman.
That's right. One of the other VR animations you thing was Batman. Yes. I don't know what that one was. I couldn't see.
Well,
we didn't do the streaming thing.
I flew up to the top of a building, and when I turn around, Batman's standing right beside me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
it's Batman.
It's Batman. And I'm reaching over because Batman's right there. And I hear him cackling. I can't see him.
I know. Just because you were saying, it's Batman. With this thing on her face, and she's doing it. So yeah.
No, but I look forward to The Walking Dead, like to getting into like a real game, not just playing around with it.
But. Yeah, I played Pistol Whip, is what I played, and it's an on rails type shooter. But, you know, you have infinite ammo. You still have to reload, but you don't ever run out of ammo. But you do have to reload, which is basically just point the gun down and it reloads for you, but you're shooting
what's the mechanic, point off screen to reload.
The interesting thing was is that it's not as easy to point and shoot. It was more like, well, some of these take some, you know, let's get some sights, you know, better at where we're pointing the gun, because it was interesting that I was missing shots. Even though I was pointing there, I could be just off a little bit, and that bullet's not going to hit what you're aiming at. It's on a line.
Yeah.
It's not on an auto assist type thing where just pointing in that direction, they have that, but there's a mode that turns that off.
Right.
And that was way more realistic and accurate as I was playing. You haven't played that yet, but you know, it's there for you to try. So, let's get to this phone because we don't have a lot of time left. Hi, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
Hey, it's Chris again. Your significant other remind you sometime this weekend, you know, send me the link for the VR.
Oh, yeah.
Do that.
Yes.
Remind him to do that sometime.
Did you get the system? Have you got the system yet or no?
No, I haven't got it. So why don't you recommend me to get it and everything, and then we can go from there, or however you can.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I'll send you the referral link. You'll use that link whenever you. No, not to buy it. You have to buy it first.
You have to buy it first?
Well, the referral code is used whenever you're setting up the device.
Oh, okay. So basically if I have it in hand and then I've already got the code in hand, I just put it in there and then and we're
right,
good, huh?
Right. You need to use, before you set up the device, you need to go through the aspect of using the code. It's not going to send you a link to go buy it. It's going to send you a link that you'll use during the setup process of the system itself.
All right. Well, get with me sometime.
I will do that. We'll definitely do that. We got to the end of the year to set all that up. You'll get $60. I'll get $60. Everybody will be happy. Thanks, Chris.
And on top of that, my immediate supervisor at work is wanting to get one too. So
hey, there's another referral that you'll be able to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I want to do the same thing with her because, she was asking me about it since she knows I'm the nerd like you are with everything with Rich and everybody at work. So she was asking me about that, and I said, yeah, she's unsure if she wants to get it because of, you know, if it might make her sick or something. But, I'm gonna go that route.
All right, man.
Y'all have a good one.
You too, buddy. I'll get in touch. Yeah, that was great. So any other final thoughts on VR for us before we got to go here?
No, I just noticed that Bam O'Brien, I believe, mentioned something about wearing glasses. I have quite a few multiple frames.
She does have to change her glasses when she plays VR.
Certain frames will fit in there and some won't.
You know, I have some that are like really big, kind of gaudy looking. But I have a small, like they have very small frames, and they do fit perfectly fine inside of the device.
It comes with a glasses spacer that you can put into the device, which I've put in there, and it comes with a different thing that fits upon your face, so you can be more cloth is the one, and then you've got one that's like a vinyl type thing. We got to run, running out of time here. Thanks everybody for watching. We're going to be back next week. Music here from Gran Turismo 5 called Christmas Tree. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Saturday.